Listener production.
G'day and welcome back. It's Cliff, Everything Southwest, and you have lobbed on local legends, and I've got one for you. There is hardly a week that goes by that I don't have somebody at the shops or the service station or somewhere around go, what's Simon Healy doing these days? No, it does happen. And be quiet, because I haven't finished the introduction
yet.
Simon and I have known each other for about 30 years. Next year is my 30th anniversary in the Southwest and Simon's 30th anniversary too. So, yeah, there's a bit of water under the bridge and we're going to talk about plenty of different things at Radio West as it was, now Triple M, getting into radio, inspirations, etc. I give you the one, thank heavens, the only local legend of the Southwest, Simon Healy.
Is it very sad we have to applaud ourselves after 30 years?
We have no budget for this one either. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
And it's true. I have people all the time saying, what's Simon Healy doing now? I haven't seen him around. What's he doing? What's he up to? What do you do here?
Well, I'm not on the wireless anymore.
No.
But obviously behind the scenes doing operational role and looking after the team here and very much behind the scenes and keeping the wheels of business turning.
Yeah, but what does that mean? You look after the
creative writers, producers, traffic, the building, Busselton building, that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
And you are in the... can we talk about the fact that we're revamping all of this place?
Eventually, yes, we will be.
We are going to be revamping the place. We're obviously not talking about it now.
Not right now. Just going to wait for a little tick box.
I'm just going to put a line through
question two.
There you go. Let us go back. You and I have known each other for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I'm responsible for you being in the radio industry.
You are. You gave
my apologies for that.
No, that's okay. So you gave me my very first job, and I'll go back a little bit before that because I went to the Melbourne Radio School with Gary Mack. Mm. And Gary Mack was very much, you know, he was mates with Bert Newton, all the good guys back then, and he took me through the Melbourne Radio School. So we finished doing this course, and that took me probably about 6 months. I used to commute from Hamilton, Victoria to Melbourne on a bus and sleep in cafes because I couldn't afford the accommodation. So I'd stay in 24-hour cafes. Anyway, so we finished the course and Gary Mack held three of us back and he said, why don't I hang on to you guys? And I was one of them. And I said, oh, this doesn't sound too good. He goes, you guys will get a job in the industry, but your demo tape wasn't real good. So come back next week and we'll recut it free of charge. And I went, for a poor boy, that's not a bad deal.
I'll take it.
Yep. So from then I... put on cassette 150 tapes, 3-minute tapes, which I sent to you and across the whole country. I got two very quick rejection letters. One was from Albany from Rainbow Radio here in WA. And the other one was from Colin Mack and Jenny Anderson or Jenny Valinden, who work with us at Triple M in Northam.
Still now.
And I've got and I regularly send that rejection letter to them. Mm. But then I got a phone call from Clifford H. Reeve in Gladstone, and he said to me, would you like to come and work in Billawheeler, that's what it was called. And that was the start of my career on the 24th of June. You gave me that job, the day before your birthday, day after your birthday.
So I kind of got you for my birthday. Lucky me.
Yeah.
But what was the inspiration, the spark that wanted you to get into this crazy game in the first place before you picked up the phone and said, Gary Mack, I'd like to come to your school?
You know, radio, cassettes, microphones, amplifiers, speakers, broadcasting, PA systems, because I used to run radio stations at school during the lunchtime, and just love the audio and be able to broadcast, and it's addictive. That's what it is.
Gets in your blood.
Yeah, it does. Mm. What's your famous saying?
There are radio people and people in radio.
We'll leave it right there.
I think you're one of you're one of the radio people, and I'll just explain that. Radio people to me. The people, guys like you and I, and there's still a handful around, not many, but a handful around, who will sell their grandmother for the right to do what we do. Mm. People in radio might go, oh, I might ever go at this radio thing. That looks pretty easy. How hard can it be? Sit on your bum for 3 hours and just play music. They work out very, very quickly that is not the case. And they go off and they do something else. Whereas you and I, if they came to us and said, oh, listen, slight problem, we didn't make any budget this week, we can't pay you, we would probably still turn up.
Yeah, it's more than likely. It's a love and it's a passion. It really is.
Maggle, Suze is another one.
Absolutely.
Another radio person. Yeah. Alan Oldworth, who works on the other mob, so we're not going to talk about him. radio person. It's a very different thing. However, the game has changed.
Absolutely, yeah.
When you started in Billowilla, and of course, Billow had a lot of focus with that family that was tied up. We don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Billow's about 120 k's inland from
Gladstone. Yep.
They took you unto their bosom, didn't they?
I was like a son. I was invited to people's homes, to their community, to their businesses, and they are just a welcoming community. And I still keep in touch with a couple of people now, but just lovely people. And you know, the day I left, it was very, very sad.
Mm.
They were like, because I got transferred overnight between Billow and Gladstone,
mm.
and it was very sad because they're so welcoming, and I didn't rock up to the settlers one night. They're like, "Where are you?" And I went, "I'm in Gladstone. Why are you there?" So that didn't go down too well. But the Billow community are just lovely, lovely people, and the people around the Banana Shire and that sort of stuff loved it.
And there was a senator who got to know you too.
Which were, oh yes, the pumpkin.
Lady Flo.
Lady Flo, she came into the Billow studio. That's right, I forgot about
Flo
that.
Flo Bielke-Peterson used to bring you
pumpkin scones. Pumpkin scones. We sat there, I think, every Tuesday at 2 o'clock and did this chat with Lady Flo, and she was just lovely, and the scones were lovely as well. Freshly baked every Tuesday morning.
Mm.
Loved it, had a lot of time for her.
What were the good times for you there? Because it was rough. That studio was literally almost keep peddling, or you're going to be in strife.
Well, it was gaffer tape, it was car radios, it was headphones, it was you at the other end plugging songs down the line. It was a good time. I had a good time in Billow. The community were fantastic.
It was rough, but it was exciting.
It was. Mm. And for your first gig in commercial radio, it was a great launching pad. I loved it, and I still miss Billow to today.
Okay, and then I came here
end of May
1993 because I had been sort of, they'd been after me to come here for a while, but I was program manager over there. I was doing brekkie. I was doing okay. But then some personal stuff happened and I didn't intend coming back here. But the guy who was an idiot, fair dinkum, we've worked with some bullheads, haven't we?
Move on, Pete.
Oh, I tell you. Anyway, he got boosted up. I got his job.
Yeah, yeah.
So I needed someone else. So I rang you.
Yeah, and said,
do you want to come to WA?
And I'm like, where's Bunbury? And you went below Perth. I'm like, oh, it's a long way to go. And then I think you said something like, just come for 2 years and you can do music and you can do weekends. And I was happy with that. And so I haven't left because this is home.
And at the time, the lovely Andrea was with you. We know that she runs the show.
Yeah.
She's terrific. What did you say to her? Hey, we're going to the other side of the country.
Well, I said Cliff is, you know, already over there. There could be a potential get a job in Bunbury so we can, you know, live together because she was in Rockhampton, I was in Billow or Gladstone. And then she ended up getting a transfer with, back in those days, Telecom. So a lovely lady by the name of Dot Rook brought her over to Bunbury and transferred her. So she actually got a job in Bunbury before I did.
Mm.
And then the stars aligned and then all of a sudden we ended up hopping on a plane and we ended up here on the same day
Bunbury. It really was serendipity, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the way absolutely. That fell into place and then that and then that. And then three kids came along.
Michaela, Talia, Caden, and the oldest is 24, then a 22, and then a 13-year-old. So, and they're all Bunbury bred, WA kids.
Mm.
Loving it.
What's not to love about this community?
Well, it's a great community. And like you said at the intro, I know a lot of people, you know, from Collie, Busselton, out through Darkin, through Narrogin, through the southwest that I've done, you know, weddings for or MC work for or funerals for as well.
I'm going to come back to all of that.
Yeah.
Because for half of the population, you've been involved in some of the really good times and some of the really
bad times as well.
So when you came to the Bunbury station, we then sort of grew and then there was the network and everything else and we're now part of Southern Cross SCA, and that's Australia-wide. It's one of the biggest media groups in the entire country.
Yeah.
It's indelicate to say it, Simon, but is it still in your guts, the love
of
the game?
Absolutely. I get up every day excited to go to work, to do things, to try new things, but also to help the new people coming through. Like, this is what I've had. Let's give you a part of this.
Mm.
So, and watching people, I've watched, you know, dozens of kids develop over the years and go into bigger radio stations. And that's a great joy for me too.
You didn't go anywhere else after here. There are people who go, oh, why didn't you go to the city? You should have gone to the city. Did you get that?
No. Well, being a country bumpkin, not a great love for the city at all. I'm very happy here in the southwest. I mean, this is home. Mm. You've got everything you want, you know, for the kids' universities. You've got shopping centres, the waterways. It's just, you know, it's just perfect. This place is perfect.
It most certainly is. And we've had some fun times. I've got some times that I want to have a talk to you about. I'm out of time for this round. So next time around, I want to talk about how we escaped West End nightclub.
Yes.
How we got out of there some
alive.
Night. Do you remember there was one night? We're in the DJ box with Johnny Orr, and there were about 10 people on the dance floor, and they're kind of like, it was 10 past 5 in the morning or something. And I looked through past the bar to a window and I could see light, and I turned to you and said, Simon, I think we should go home.
Because didn't you have to get up and go on air for breakfast? Didn't we just walk into the station?
Oh, I did once.
One of us was on air.
I did once.
Anyway, more about that after.
We won't talk about that though. We are going to talk about the Siege. We're going to talk about your work in Celebrancy and what inspires you to this day. Local legend, Simon Healy. That went in a flash, didn't it?
Certainly did.
So we've got a whole bunch more that we're going to have a talk about. Don't forget, you've obviously got Listener. You've got it right now. Thank you for that. But if there's anyone you know who hasn't, get them to download it wherever you get your apps. Listener. It's a whole new world of entertainment and audio. Like I say, it's free and you can take us wherever you want to go. More from Simon Healy, a local legend, next time around here on Listener.
A Listener production.